Welcome to the Oddity Shop, where the bizarre is always on sale.
Welcome in, Yadballs. This is Kara with your co-hosting Zach.
Hi.
This is our chaotic. We're the Oddity Shop podcast, where we bring you
creepy, odd, weird, strange, paranormal, cursed, cursed, strange, bizarre,
cryptidy,
ghostly
witchy
tales, cryptidy, witchy tales from around the globe. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm upset.
Okay.
Did you hear that somebody has defiled my man?
Who do we have to kill?
Did you hear what they did to my big shiny boy?
No.
Well, you see, somebody has put a tribal tramp stamp onto the shiny metal badonk.
That's awesome.
Of the Mothman. It's like, it's that typical like 90s black. The pictures are going all over Twitter, and I'm like, who did it?
That's
which
awesome,
one of you?
Though. I thought it was going to be like they, you know, like broke him or something. That's kind of funny.
No, they just like, because we've talked about it on here before. If you have not seen the donk on
There's
the Mothman statue, that thing is sculpted from the gods. And it's like, it's one of those like, right in the center of the tramp stamp, you know, it comes down to like a point and it's already
crack.
Like such a good butt. Oh, yeah.
So
oh, it's just
cute.
Perfect. So, yeah. Somebody just defiled my moth
oh,
boy.
God. Oh, my God.
But I might get to see him again this year.
Oh, okay. That's it. Twice. Like, I knew what you were talking about, and then I was like, no, I don't. So
Julia and I are throwing around the idea of taking a long weekend road trip down to West Virginia.
Okay.
She does not yet know
why
that the place she has picked is also very cryptid.
Oh.
But we found a really cute Airbnb. She found a bridge she really wants to cross. I know all of the, you know, creepy things I'm gonna go hunting for. It's gonna be great.
Poor Julia.
I mean, she knows what she's getting into when I suggested West Virginia, because she's like, it's only 20 minutes from this. I'm like, and look at how close Point Pleasant will
she's
be.
She's like, oh god, that's cute. All yeah. Right.
Plus, you and I have another adventure coming up that we need to buy tickets to really, really, really soon before it sells out.
Tomorrow.
But we are finally, well, I'm gonna say it. Hopefully they don't sell out of tickets in the next 24 hours, but as long as everything goes to plan, we will be staying the night in the haunted Eloise Asylum,
God.
And I'm so excited.
I'm really excited too, but it's scur.
When I was talking to her about it off the show the other day, I said something. She's like, how are we gonna not fall asleep? I'm like, what do you mean? Because it's from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. I'm like, we're gonna be in a haunted asylum all night long. How would you sleep?
Because when I just told you last week I slept through a tornado. When I'm fucking tired, I'm tired. I
yeah,
can sleep anywhere,
cool.
On anything, with anything going on. I do think that my adrenaline will probably be like really amped though, so I probably won't even get tired. But when I'm tired, man, I'm tired.
Fair.
I asked mom if she wanted to go, and she
Ooh.
Thought about it so hard. And she, I know deep down, she really wanted to say yes, and she kept saying, well, and then she just was like, I think I'm just going to be too scared. I don't think I could actually do it. I'm like, it's fine. I'm like, how about
Lynn,
we
you
do it?
Great.
Well, I'm like, how about Zach and I will just do it, and then we'll let you know how it goes, and then you can come somewhere else.
There we go.
Is Adam going? Did you ask?
He's going to get back to me and let me know.
All right. Well, yep. That's probably all that we have over here. So what do you have for me?
I have a question.
Wow. Do you?
Okay. At least every week I come prepared with one. There was a while where you weren't, and I'll never let you forget it. Anyways, are you ready for your question? That's not the question. That's just a pre-question to your question.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So at what point, like, how many dead bodies in a pool would it take before you got out of the pool?
One.
Just one?
What? Why would I want any dead body in a pool I'm in?
If you were in a swimming pool, what is the threshold of dead bodies you would find appropriate before you got out of the swimming pool?
Well, I don't want any dead bodies in there. So if I found out there's one, I would get out.
So if you're in a body of water and there were bodies in there, you would get
out? Well, no, because we already know that every body of water that you're in, there's carcasses fucking everywhere. But a pool is a small contained area. There shouldn't be a body in it.
What about a lake?
Zachary, it's the same thing. If I'm in a pool, it's different. A dead body should not be in a pool I'm in.
Okay.
Tell me how many dead bodies are somewhere.
No, not yet. Just to spite you. But we are talking about a creepy fucking lake. And a creepy fucking lake that is way too close to home. The lake that has been said as the one that never gives up its dead. The graveyard of the Great Lakes. We're talking about Lake Superior, baby. Okay, so let's get into it with some water facts. Okay. You ready?
Okay. Water facts. Let's get in water with some fact. Water facts.
Coming at you hot or wet.
Stop it.
Okay, so everyone knows this by now. We're from Michigan. We're obviously the greatest state on earth, surrounded by the Great Lakes. Oh, we have the come on, we have to trick ourselves at least this time of year before it starts getting nice again. All right. But the Great Lakes are just like mind-numbingly huge when you think about it.
Scary.
And we're going to be talking about the scariest, creepiest, coldest, and deepest of them, like I said, which is Superior. Did you know, Kara, that Lake Superior is the largest freshwater lake by surface area in the whole world?
I did.
All right, since you know so much, why don't you give some lake facts?
Why don't you get some lake facts?
I'm giving them. Superior is the northmost of all the Great Lakes, surrounded by Michigan's Upper Peninsula only, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Canada. How deep do you think the deepest part is?
I don't know, but I know it's pretty deep. Guess. I don't even fucking understand.
Guess.
I can't comprehend water.
1,300 feet deep with an average depth of 500 feet.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
It also stays a pretty constant temperature, at least under the surface, of about 39 degrees Fahrenheit year round.
39 degrees? Interesting.
Yes.
Yikes.
That's the average temperature, though, and that's including summertime. So, like, that it's cold at its best, and it's
freezing,
frigid at its worst. Take it from me who swam in there more times than I would like to admit to get a shower while camping. That shit sucks. That is like, it looks like it'd be so refreshing. And as soon as you dip the boys in, you want out.
Bye.
There's a section of this lake that's called the Graveyard of the Lakes. And it's kind of like Whitefish Point up to Canada, over to Isle Royale and back down to that big square right in the center of it. And that is due to a few reasons. One is the storms that come through there are like super, super wild. You also have like that's where the lake starts to taper off back towards the Sioux Locks, which connects it to Lake Huron. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of really deep but really narrow channels for boats to travel through.
Yeah. There.
So it's super easy to like run aground or, you know, just kind of run into all sorts of issues. There's also rogue waves, which are just like mini tsunamis that can pop up out of nowhere on a super clear day there.
It's wild.
It seems like the ocean when you think of like how powerful it can be. Around that graveyard is where we have Michigan's probably most famous shipwreck, that of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which claimed the lives of all 29 members on board. No body is ever discovered. Now, there's an amazing song that comes out of this called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And that has that line, that super famous line, Superior, they said, never gives up her dead.
So creepy.
Do you know why?
Can't they not come up?
Yes, that is
true. I know
it's
like a scientific reason, but I don't remember.
I was actually really surprised by this. So I always kind of thought, like, I knew it held onto the bodies because I thought it was, like, really cold. They froze.
Oh, okay.
And then sunk.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But that is completely wrong. The reason dead bodies or dead animals and stuff usually float in water isn't because the body itself. The bacteria that breaks down or living organic matter eats
it. Like the gas and then the gases, right?
Yeah. And I always thought it was the decomposing body that was making the gases. It's the bacteria's farts.
Yeah, it's gross.
Basically. It's really gross. The bacteria starts eating, it starts farting, and then you start floating.
Gross.
But because the water is so cold here, the bacteria can't survive at those depths, so decomposition never happens.
Mm.
Not only does Lake Superior hold on to her dead, but they are perfectly preserved.
Yeah, that's so fucking weird.
That's also like a lot of the shipwrecks and plane wrecks, because believe me, as many as there are shipwrecks, there's a ton of planes that go down here. They are like perfectly preserved just because that bacteria that's usually in water isn't able to decompose anything at these depths.
So freaking weird.
It's creepy.
It is so creepy.
But that also means that of the many, many shipwrecks, they are fully intact with fully clothed, just looking like the day they died, bodies laying around them.
Joy.
So from what I could find, Superior's home to at least 550 shipwrecks and 10,000 bodies.
Dang.
And that's that we know of.
Like, that seems like a lot, but then it also doesn't. But then, yeah, it's because that's all we know of. That's so crazy.
Right, there. I mean, there's another couple hundred planes in there, and then there's everything that you don't know of. I mean, that's insane to think of for a lake. Although, in my argument would be, I don't know the difference between a lake and a sea, I guess. But, like, I feel like the Great Lakes are too big to be called lakes. Like, at
that an argument? For a while, that they shouldn't be considered lakes, or am I making that up in my head?
They should be considered seas. I don't know. I don't know the first thing about what differentiates them, but that's my stance, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Moving on. Okay.
So, what I actually have for you, though, is the story of two of the craziest ship. I was going to say shipwrecks, but
almost shipwrecks.
I'm going to just say ships. We're gonna talk about just ships. Are you ready for the
rest? Yes.
All right. We're traveling back to November of 1927.
Okay.
Where the SS Kamloops has just embarked from Canada and is heading up Lake Huron towards Lake Superior.
Okay.
So the SS Kamloops is a 250-foot steamship, which is actually considered pretty small for the Great Lakes around this time. And she is loaded full of tar paper, coiled wires, shoes, food, bagged salt, and other paper-making supplies.
Okay.
Which seems like an odd thing to ship, but hey. On board, though, were also 22 crew members who were obviously working on the boat. Okay? So on the 4th of December, she left Lake Huron behind, went through the pass into Lake Superior, and as it makes its way into that area known as the Graveyard of the Great Lakes, a horrible winter storm rolls in and just begins to hammer the Kamloops as well as all the other ships that were traveling across.
Hmm.
So that storm started the second day on December 5th. And the Kamloops, being small for the size of the lake, was really, really struggling against the huge waves. It was getting all kind of built up with ice and just not having a great time. Dusk comes around on December 6th. The storm is still going strong, but the Kamloops was spotted by another vehicle, vessel, we'll say. I don't think they call ships vehicles.
No.
But they stated that the Kamloops was covered in ice, but headed full steam ahead towards Isle Royale. Oh, I can't speak. Full speed ahead towards Isle Royale,
okay,
which would be like still heading into the storm. So they see it. I mean, they see it's like covered in ice. It just looks a little bit ragged, but it was floating.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, that was the last time that anybody had ever seen the SS Kamloops.
Okay.
So 6 days passed by and no crew members or ship had been seen. And on the 12th of December, a search started, and that search lasted a whole whopping 10 days.
Hmm.
On the 10th day, worse weather sets in and the search is called off.
Okay.
So it was just basically assumed that the Kamloops had become another, like, the, you know, the newest victim of Lake Superior, and that likely all the crew were lost. It'd be very hard for them to survive.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm surprised, like, maybe I'm dumb, but, like, even 10 days kind of seems like almost a lot to be searching for them because, like, I mean, I guess they could still be on the ship somewhere, but, like, I don't know.
Right. Especially, you know how cold the UP is in the middle of December.
It just kind
of
seems like,
and you're on the water.
After maybe like 5 days, I'd be like, okay, there's no.
Well, in April, after the winter passed, they tried to launch another search, but this time they were looking for the wreckage. Mm-hmm. And in May, several of the crew members' remains were found.
Oh.
They were found at the 12 o'clock point on Isle Royale. So nearby them were, like, you know, remnants of a small fire, like a, you know, try to keep warm fire, some little bits of wreckage, and a lifeboat.
Oh, dang. That's sad then.
Now, what drives me a little bit crazy is, for anybody who doesn't know, if you're looking at a picture of Lake Superior, that big island right smack in, like, the middle of it, that's Isle Royale.
Why did they not?
If you were going to do a search.
Right.
like they must have only been searching the open water for it. Nobody thought like, hey, the last time we saw it, it was headed towards Isle Royale. Maybe we should check the island and save these 9 people.
That's crazy.
Those 9 people obviously were not saved. Once they were found, it was remains. It looked like they had either frozen to death or been picked apart by the wolves on the island.
It's probably Rougarous.
Probably. So obviously, like, you know, the hope of finding the rest of the crew kind of dwindled after that. And most had given up any hope of finding the ship. Basically, you know, add it to another list of the ghost ships that would disappear over the years, never to be seen again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, really sad, one of the last things that they ever found from the ship, it's kind of heartbreaking. So in December of 1928, so almost exactly 1 year after, a trapper is working near the mouth of the Agawa River, and he finds floating a bottle.
Do you feel the most powerful and beautiful with the elements of the earth around you? Do you like one-of-a-kind jewelry? Do you sometimes feel like a woodland fairy? Me too. That's why I created Holly and Hemlock, a magical shop filled with handmade wooden jewelry and metaphysical tools. Come check out our enchanting wooden wares at www.hollyhemlock.com and join us in honoring the magic and beauty of nature with each unique creation. That's www.hollyhemlock.com.
Okay. Oh.
And
is there a message?
There's
in
a message
it?
Inside
no,
this bottle.
No, don't read it.
Inside the bottle was a message from Alice Betridge. She was a young assistant stewardess on the Kamloops.
No.
And written on the note, she says, "I am the last one left alive, freezing and starving to death on Isle Royale in Lake Superior. I just want my mom and dad to know my fate."
That is so fucking sad.
It's
I would not want to be the last one.
No, the wolves could have taken me. Mm-hmm. All right, fast forward 50 years, and on August 21st, 1977, the wreckage of the Kamloops had finally been discovered.
Oh, wow.
Basically right off the coast of Isle Royale.
Mm.
So it was found, as we talked about earlier, with the bacteria just about perfectly preserved, laying on its side at the base of an underwater cliff in 260 feet of water.
Mm.
Exact like fate, right, of what happened is still a mystery, but with the lack of damage to the ship, what most people think is that it somehow lost power,
okay,
slowly filled with water, sank, and then slid down that cliff at a really good incline.
Ugh, so horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, not a great situation. But divers were really excited because of the lack of bacteria and how well preserved the ship was at the depth. The holds were still filled, so they could still make out, like, clear as day, the paper making supplies, the shoes, the food was, like, well preserved. I mean, obviously waterlogged.
Wow.
There is still clothing hanging in the cabins.
That's creepy.
It's wild.
I don't like that.
But, you know, if there's crew belongings, there's also some crew. Stories start to spread quickly through the diver community about the ghost of one crew member in particular that they called Grandpa.
Grandpa?
So some divers reported seeing a pale white ghost kicked back up in the crew bunks, or he'd be watching them explore their way through the sunken ship.
Wait, so he's like a ghost underwater?
Sort of.
Okay.
Others claimed that he would wander through the boat, oblivious to the fact that he was at the bottom of Lake Superior.
That's crazy.
Going about his business as if he was still alive. Others yet even said that Grandpa would not only follow them, but sometimes reach out and try to touch them.
Aww.
So whether or not you believe in the ghost is actually meaningless, because there's been enough evidence to prove that Grandpa is 100% inside the Kamloops. You see, so while some people may have claimed that he was still tending to his duties or anything else, mm-hmm, Grandpa is 100% inside the ship. And by that, I mean his perfectly preserved body.
That's so creepy. Poor Grandpa.
For over 100 years, or almost 100 years at this point, Grandpa, or Old Whitey, as others call him, has been lodged inside of the ship in a state of just perfectly preserved, and his skin has turned just ghost white.
Oh, I bet.
Your skin actually without the bacteria and something to do with the pressure and the cold and everything else, it turns into like almost a wax substance that preserves then everything inside. It hotly debated, right, of if people are actually seeing the ghost or his physical body. But divers still to this day claim that the body will follow them throughout the ship.
Ew.
You know, some have tried to rationalize it as current, but then there's others who are like, listen, if it was current, why has he stayed inside the ship for 100 years? Why are there still clothes hanging? Why is that, you know, seems kind of illogical.
Wait, that's creepy. I don't like that the actual body follows you around. That's fucked up,
the Grandpa. Actual body.
Listen, Grandpappy, you can haunt me while I'm down there, but your body can stay where it is. And that's creepy as fuck.
More people fight the evidence of, you know, the currents and everything too, because they say the way that he moves around the boat, especially following divers, seems to be more intelligent in nature than just like floating.
That's so, I have goosebumps.
So you can actually see pictures of Grandpa or Old Whitey. He's been photographed in multiple rooms over the years. Usually hangs out mostly by the stairs going down into like the engine room.
What the fuck?
But yeah, has never been seen outside the vessel, just in different rooms inside the ship.
Is he the only body in the ship?
That's the only one in this ship. Yep. If you're brave enough, you can go pay a visit to him in 260 feet of water at the bottom of a cliff at Isle Royale.
Mm-mm.
And do what most people do to pay their respects, which is shake Old Whitey's hand.
Absolutely fucking not.
Well, that answers the next question, because I would say, would you dive down?
I would probably dive down there, but I'm not shaking his fucking hand.
Why?
Because that's so creepy.
It's just Grandpa.
No.
That's so crazy, though, that like, I wonder if people have actually seen the ghost or if they just were afraid to like get near the body. Because, I mean, it's like glowing white if you look at the pictures just because of the way it gets preserved. So I wonder if they were just seeing that the whole time.
I don't know. Either way, it's really freaking weird that he just like moves around in the ship, like following people. Like, I understand like he's probably so lonely and just wants to like, hey, what up? But like,
This is one of those places that has been deemed a graveyard. And that's actually one of the cool things is a lot of the shipwrecks in the Lake Superior, because they can't go get the bodies.
Yeah.
While it gets the nickname Graveyard of the Lakes, there are actually, you know, like parts of land that are considered graveyards down there and have the same protections as above water graveyards have. So you can't just go down there and like take parts of the ships and this and that.
Yeah.
Because they're actually like respected land, which I think is really cool.
No, that is very cool.
So while that one's by far, like, I think the creepiest shipwreck that we could find, I do have another boat story for you.
Okay.
First off, real quick side note, because we talked about all those, like the passages and stuff and how easy it is to run around, not only are there creepy boats, but Lake Superior also has a really high number of haunted lighthouses because there are lighthouses all over. And everyone you go into has some story of death, disease, or, you know, tragedy that struck the keepers, and they were working their whole life to keep people in boats alive.
Yeah, but it just really wasn't the greatest job.
No. And most of them, you know, haven't stopped working. So there's a lot of keepers of the lighthouses who are still seen as shadow figures. There's weird light anomalies, disembodied voices.
Yeah.
But, you know, those lighthouses not only light the way for the real ships, but the ghost ships as well.
Mm.
So, did you know that Lake Superior has its own Flying Dutchman?
I did.
So we talking about that one, the Bannockburn. So the SS Bannockburn is one of those ships that has gone out, was never seen again, at least with a fully alive crew.
So crazy.
It's so wild. But let's get so the background on it. The Bannockburn leaves Ontario in November of 1902, carrying 21 crew members and 85,000 bushels of wheat, which is like
wheat.
That's a lot of wheat.
Okay.
Yeah. Not weed. Wheat.
Wheat.
The entire crew is under 40 years old, the oldest being 37, most in their teens and 20s, with promises of adventures and fat paychecks.
Mm.
So the Bannockburn takes off and almost immediately runs aground. They go back into port, they get it checked out, and they basically go, yeah, you're good to go. They were told it was structurally sound, it sails off again, and unfortunately would never return to a port. So what I say, that was early November. By November 21st, the Bannockburn was seen for the last time. Guess where? in the graveyard of the Great Lakes, right off the coast of Isle Royale.
That's crazy.
At approximately 11 p.m. She was headed into what was later called the worst storm of that entire winter season.
Ugh.
So when it was discovered that the ship had been missing, search parties were sent out. Nothing was ever recovered. Now, funny enough, on November 30th, the one and only John D. Rockefeller was actually crossing Superior.
Mm.
And they had come across a debris field sometime right around, I think, this was end of November, November 30th. It was kind of assumed after he reported it, a lot of people assumed that it must have been the wreckage of the Bannockburn.
Oh.
The final bit of evidence comes in December 12th at Grand Marais. Have you ever been up to Grand Marais in the beach there?
I don't think so, but...
So they have this big, and there's many of these on the Great Lakes, but they're called life-saving stations. And it's basically, if you think of a boat rescue.
Yeah.
And lifeguard station all in one.
Okay.
So the captain stationed at the life-saving station, he finds a cork life preserver that had washed up on the beach, and on the preserver was SS Bannockburn.
Mm.
We know whatever happened wasn't good, but we never know exactly what happens to this ship. You know, we know it was already weakened. It went into a crazy storm. We can figure out it probably sank.
Yeah.
But no bits of the boat other than that life preserver, and none of the crew ever found.
That's so
wild. But it was seen again.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks after that life preserver showed up was one of the first sightings. It was a foggy day, and another ship had seen it, the Bannockburn, what they thought, come out of the fog. They got close enough to see a crew working on the top of it.
That's so crazy. Kind of slips
back into the fog. They try to find it, can never see it again. This exact scenario has happened over and over for 120 years.
It's like a mirage, but like, why?
The mirage of a ship that fits the description. You can see the crew, and it's always icy, foggy nights that the apparition of the ship can be seen just silently crossing the waters. It's only visible for a few minutes, and then it just dips away again.
So crazy.
So that's why the locals call it, though, lovingly call it the Flying Dutchman of the Great Lakes, because it's cursed to spend its entire eternity sailing the rough waters with the crew always working.
I don't know if that's sad or if it's like endearing, like not maybe not endearing, but like, I don't know.
I'm not. I was gonna say, I'd like to say like, oh yeah, I know what you're trying to say and agree with
like,
you, but
is it like
I'm gonna go with it's just sad.
I know, but is it like a sweet thing where they're like just enjoying life on the sea type of deal? Like it could just be like that sweet thing, but then it's like, no, I think it's sad. But then it really could just be a time loop thing, or like a,
it could definitely be a time loop thing. I think, you know, if we take it at its face value, you've got a bunch of really young people, teens and early 20s, dying in a horrible way. Yeah, that's going to leave some sort of psychic imprint,
yeah, or
some sort of, you know, energy impression behind.
Well, hopefully they're just having a good time.
And then on top of that, right, like the ship itself and the bodies are probably not decomposing and moving on. That's got to add something to it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But it's also not the only ghost ship. There's like a ton of them if you keep looking. Then I'm not going to get into it too far, but I wanted to leave you with two other really cool things.
Okay.
So we talked about a couple of the shipwrecks. There's tons more, way more ghost stories. We talked about the lighthouses. Superior has some of the creepiest, loneliest, dismal looking lighthouses of all time that all have their own haunting stories. But like around the shores, there's haunted beaches. There's like tons of haunted locations. I mean, Lake Superior is just one of those things that are there. There's like for the paranormal or for rock hunters like me, there is no shortage of things to find or do or explore.
No,
but if you're really, really lucky, you can see one of Lake Superior's two freaking cryptids. All right. We got our own Nessie of the Great Lakes. So we do have a Loch Ness type monster. And then there's also an aquatic panther that is covered in scales that protects hordes and hordes of copper underwater in caves.
What?
Yeah.
What? I don't know if I know of this.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of this one either, but it's...
What is it called?
an underwater panther, Kara.
Oh, there's not like a crypt. It doesn't have like a name.
It is, but it's a Native American name. Oh. And I didn't put it in my notes and I should have. It is called Mishipeshu.
Why does that sound familiar?
I don't know. Probably because
you've heard it before. Is there a kid's book about that?
It translates to being the Great Lynx. It's got the head and paws of a cat, but it's covered in scales and dagger-like spikes.
Wait, why does this like vaguely sound familiar right now?
It's definitely a Native American legend. You've probably heard of it before.
Maybe. Okay. Like it.
So anyways.
Okay.
Mishipeshu.
Mishipeshu.
So yeah, next time you're in Michigan, heading up to the Great Lakes, you know, check them out. You can, there's a lot of the shipwrecks you can see from shore or dive to. But if you go swimming in there, try not to think about the fact that you're swimming with 10,000 ghostly others and dead bodies.
That's like really water scary.
Yeah, the next time I go camping up there, because I always take my baths in Lake Superior, and it's going to be much harder this time. I'm not going to come out feeling nearly as clean. So that's it, though. That's the story I have for you on a couple of the ghostly, shipwrecky stories from Lake Superior.
It is really sad. Would you want your grave to be underwater?
Are you for real asking me that?
Well, like,
what my dream way to die, if I got to plan my death, top hat, cigar, whiskey on the rocks, going down in a cruise ship.
I know, but like, and then you just want your grave to be down there? Like, that's where you just are for the rest of your life?
Or like, if I die on land, give me a Viking funeral.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. So my brother wants.
Push me off in a boat, shoot a flaming arrow at me.
Yeah, no, I think it would kind of be peaceful to be under the water. It would be scary and dark.
You'd be dead. What, well, you wouldn't feel fear?
If you're coming back, but I guess it's dark underground too. I think I would want to be in the water.
Mm-hmm. I feel a little less claustrophobic spiritually, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So when I die, just throw me over a bridge.
Plus, I did read this article recently about these underwater sea urchins that were found to be having parties where they all had to decorate and create their own hat. And scientists are really baffled by this. And, you know, I could spend an eternity at a sea urchin costume party.
They made little hats. Yeah.
So this weird species of sea urchin, they like saw all these tracks and they're like, this doesn't make sense for their like behaviors. And so they finally found it. And there's all these sea urchins and each one of them had crafted a hat, which like putting things on their heads is not something they typically do. But the tracks that all the researchers could say, it looked like they were dancing.
Sea urchins wearing hats. Wait, what?
I'm not bullshitting you. It's a real article that exists. I don't know, you know, sea urchins in the Great Lakes, but.
Oh my God. They're like little rocks and stuff. And yeah, shells.
Is so different.
Oh my God. All right.
If you guys need a little pick me up today, seriously, look up the sea urchins costume party with hats. It is. What's the name of the article, Kara?
I don't know. I just Googled sea urchins wearing hats.
Sea urchins wearing hats. All right, guys, Google it. Get on the same weird lists we're on. And that'll be the nice little light thing we leave you with today.
Oh, but see, I don't know. This just says, scientists and tide pool visitors have known for decades that sea urchins like to cover themselves up. They have tube feet in addition to I don't care. But anyway, they all have little like rocks and shells and stuff on their. What? That's so cute.
I think it's like the cutest thing.
Oh my God.
All right. So if you don't like the sea urchins, whatever, write into us about what your favorite creepy lake is, because I could write about creepy and weird underwater things all day. Mm-hmm. Give me some ideas. Drop us a rating or a review and we would love you forever. And what else, Kara?
I think that's really it. Just write into us. We're begging, we're pleading. Give us some ideas. At least give us some ideas of what you'd like to hear so we can look up some stuff for you guys and know that you actually enjoy listening to it. But that's really about it. So we love you. Keep doing you, and most importantly, creep it real, y'all balls.
Goodbye.
Bye.